Unaccustomed to being unrestrained, many of them meandered to the edges of the clearing, where they began to nibble at Rigosh's abundant foliage. Some of the felines and gundarks skulked away and disappeared into the forest. Confused, the smaller animals, the snow lizards, eopes, nerfs, and others, clustered together in the center of the landing zone, as if awaiting instructions. No sooner was the offloading completed than several pirates hurried into the lander and lifted off. The rest of the black hole ships launched, and in the blink of an eye, the pirates were gone. Sorry and I raced out of the Falcon to join Molpol's crew and performers, who were also hurrying out of their ships. A few steps from the foot of the boarding ramp, I stopped to have a look around. Rigosh's pale sky was darkening, and the surrounding forest was now raucous with the calls of indigenous animals. I had a bad feeling about the situation, which worsened as I saw hundreds of pairs of eyes begin to glow in the tree line. With astounding speed, something emerged from the trees and raced across the clearing, disappearing into the forest with one of the small animals clamped in its mouth. Seconds later, another creature emerged, carrying off another of the animals, then a third, and a fourth. Molpol's armaments consisted mostly of ceremonial weapons used by our sharpshooters during their portion of the show. Some of the crew members had actual blasters, but too few to fend off the attacks that were likely to continue throughout the night. I was giving thought to using the Falcon's turbolaser to lay waste to the trees when several of the handlers hurried over to me. "We've got to get these animals into the Falcon," someone shouted in my face. I must have returned a confused look, because he repeated the statement at even higher volume. I shook my head to clear it and tried to point out that the Falcon wasn't large enough to accommodate even a third of the animals, and that would include using the living quarters of the ship as well as the cargo areas.
"Then you'll just have to make 3 trips,
Narin said, who often served as my co-pilot.
3 trips to where?
I asked in a voice that sounded too high-pitched to be my own. Back to Delaphon, I was told. Everyone began shouting at once, filling my ears with statements I already knew. We had to do this for the sake of the animals. We couldn't abandon them on Rigosh to become prey. The large animals could fend for themselves, but the small ones had to be rescued. Only the Falcon was fast enough to accomplish the task. Only I had the skill to pilot and execute the micro-jumps that would be necessary. Meanwhile, the rest of them would remain on the moon and hold the predators at bay. With that, I stepped aside to make room for the handlers, who immediately set themselves to the task of herding the animals into the Falcon. How I wished the pirates had left us with at least enough Tanabian straw to cover the ship's deck plates. But all the feed and grain had disappeared with the Hayor Chal lander. When I could finally move, I raced into the ship to enable the oxygen generators and inertial dampers below decks and set the air scrubbers on maximum. But my nose already told me that there was simply no way the scrubbers were going to overcome the stench produced by nervous snow lizards and other camaloids. In fact, I began to doubt the Falcon would ever smell the same again. Then, just when it seemed that matters couldn't get any worse, Snowmass somehow got it in his flat-faced head that the Falcon was actually ingesting the small animals and decided to come to their rescue. I don't know that there's ever been another instance of an albino rancor attacking a white T-1300 freighter, but that was exactly what happened, and the only way I could prevent the ship from being pummeled flat and pitted by corrosive drool was to engage the repulsor lifts and dance the Falcon out of Snowmass's considerable reach while his handlers tried to calm him down. I don't know precisely how long the dance went on, but by the end of it, many of the animals were shipsick, and adding to the mounting miasma by retching and emitting other noxious odors. In all the confusion, I had completely lost sight of Sari, though I suspected she had fled to her confined cabin in the passenger ship. So perhaps you can imagine my surprise when I exited the Falcon's cockpit connector to find her seated cross-legged on the now filthy deck of the main hold. Her evening dress torn beyond repair, face smudged with unidentifiable substances, and makeup in disarray. When I saw that she was crying softly, I hastened to her side, babbling apologies for everything I could think of, including the pirate attack. She gazed up at me for a long moment before wiping the tears from under her eyes and laughing. "You are a fool," she told me, "even when you're not acting the part." I started to stammer a reply, but she cut me off. "Why do you think I'm with the circus? For the applause? For the few credits we earn?" She gestured broadly to the stinking snow lizards and the opies crowded around her. "I love animals, Pern. and I think that after we get all of them back to Delphan, I'm going to be in love with you.